We have, this past summer, been doing what we've actually called more of a summer of Bible study. And we've been using something called the Bible Project that, as you've seen, this video has short video lessons on different topics that will help us understand the Bible a lot better. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and as I took time to work through this material, there's so much in here that I'm going to actually break this down into two messages. Today we're going to focus on the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and then next week we will focus on the Holy Spirit in the New. And so John 14, verses 16 and 17 will be the verses we open up with. And Jesus prays this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." This is God's word. As we begin to look at the Holy Spirit through God's Word and through kicking off with this Bible Project video, I want us to make sure and understand where we stand with our understanding of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. And so for some of us, as you hear some of these words like energy and breath and wind, you're like, oh my gosh, is this biblical? This sounds very New Age-ish to me. But understand that the Hebrew language has far fewer words than, for example, the English language. And so because of that, Hebrew words have to be very flexible and often encompass a variety or shades of meaning. And so often in our Western understanding, we'll look at these words that we find in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, and project our very scientific, very fixed understanding of precision upon a language that was very poetic and had a lot of room for different shades of meaning. And so that's kind of our starting point as we begin. And so hopefully we can understand this a little bit better as we work through this. As you watch this video, we see three roles that God's Spirit plays in our world from the Old Testament. And the first one that was presented is that God's, and let's say it together because I think it'll be kind of fun, and make sure you kind of hit that last part, ruach, ruach, right, ruach. God's ruach as creator. The Bible Project reminded us that ruach can describe an invisible, powerful energy that is necessary for life, making it a fitting description for the Spirit of God. And so once again, we're not saying it's like the Force in Star Wars, but because the Hebrew language can encompass shades of meaning, we need to look at the context. God's Spirit as creator. In Genesis 1:1-2, we see here written in God's word, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep." And what? "The Spirit of God," ruach, "was hovering over the face of the waters." When we begin to see God's presence in his Spirit at the very beginning of creation, we begin to understand that God has been involved. His Holy Spirit is not just what we find in the book of Acts chapter 2 with Pentecost. Often we divorce the two from the Old Testament and New, but it is one Spirit of God. And what we find in the Old Testament, we will also find in the New in terms of understanding God's character, his heart, his presence, especially when we think about the Holy Spirit. Ruach is first and foremost, in its basic meaning throughout the Hebrew Bible, breath, with the Greek word pneuma. God's ruach is animating everything. When we say animating everything, his life, his power gives life to all living things. And we see that even in the beginning of creation. Genesis 1:30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. The breath of God is the power behind all living things. Not just in our created world, in creation and in nature, but in humanity as well. Genesis 2:7 reminds us of that. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the ruach. And the man became a living creature. God's ruach breathes life into all things. God's ruach breathes life into all things. From the moment that we came out of our mother's womb to take that first breath, God is giving us his breath of life, whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, and one day he will remove it, and you will no longer be physically alive. Where does that come from? That comes from the Lord. His ruach breathes life into all things. And so from the very beginning, as we're trying to understand the third person of the Trinity, we're trying to understand a broader picture of God and who he is, we begin there. The God is in the Spirit, the creator of all things. His breath of life is giving all of us, by his mercy and grace, the ability to also breathe. And every time you take that breath, we acknowledge that that is a gift of God. We live because God gave us life. And so we begin there. Secondly, we see, as we were watching that video, that God's ruach is also an empower. And so there on the left, you see different shades of meaning and the way in which the Hebrew word ruach can be translated. God's Spirit is a creator, but also he is an empower. What do we mean by that? If you're watching that video, and as we take a step back and look at the times in which God has interacted with humanity, we see that when God chooses to meet one of us, we are never the same. Throughout the Bible, God's Spirit meets individuals, and they are never the same again. And often when he meets us and interacts with our spirit, every human being has their own spirit. It is their intent. It is their mind. It is their desires. It is their will. And when we find in Scripture this picture of God's Holy Spirit, his spirit as an empower, it is when his spirit invades our spirit, we are changed. And this is fascinating. As I was going through this material, and I'd already gave it away in the video, but the first person that we find that is described as one who is full of God's Spirit is who? A guy named Joseph. In Genesis 41, this is what we find, verses 38 and 39. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are." I'm sure Joseph was a very bright guy, a man of utmost character and integrity, a servant and a true leader. But unless the Spirit of God came upon him, interacted and empowered and transformed his spirit, as smart as this guy was, gifted and talented like many of you are, he would not have been able to have that power to interpret dreams. That came from the Spirit of God. When God's Spirit interacts with ours, it empowers us, it transforms us, it renews us, it changes us to do the things that God is calling us to do for our generation and a specific Holy Spirit task. The second time it's mentioned, and we saw this once again in the video of someone being given God's Ruach, is, and this I would have never caught apart from this video in this way, Bezalel. Exodus 31, 2 through 5. This is fascinating. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with what? The Spirit of God. With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, and to work in every craft. This is fascinating. So often we think that when the Holy Spirit comes to empower an individual and interacts with our spirit, that a person may be able to deliver God's word, to do a very spiritual task, maybe to heal, or in some tradition, speaking in tongues. But here we have an example, the second example of one who's filled with the Spirit of God. And what happens? This person, Bezalel, is empowered with the Spirit of God with ability, intelligence, and knowledge and craftsmanship to create beautiful artistic things to decorate the tabernacle of God. So often we think it's an over-spiritualized type of activity. When the Spirit of God empowers us, we're able to preach and pray and heal and speak in tongues and prophesy, all that. But here we have an example. When the Spirit of God comes and takes the abilities, the natural abilities, and brings it to a supernatural type of level, empowers this person to be able, with his hands, to create beautiful artistic furnishings for the tabernacle of God. Let us be very careful when we think about what does it mean when the Spirit of God comes upon our lives, that we only pigeonhole what that looks like according to our tradition, our experiences, and our expectations. When this person, Bezalel, was filled and empowered by the Spirit of God, he used his artistic abilities and lifted it to a different level to create beautiful artistic furnishings for the tabernacle of God. Every individual has been gifted differently, and when the Spirit of God empowers us, it will look different in every individual, because all of us have been created with different gifts, talents, and passions. Tim Mackey says this in Bible Project, this is the whole theme through the Old Testament, that God influences humans by his Ruach, by connecting himself to their Ruach, their mind, yeah, giving you a perspective that you wouldn't normally have, ideas and insight that you wouldn't normally have. And he takes your natural abilities, talents, your mind, your wisdom, and empowers it to a different level to use to serve God in our generation, among our people, in the task that he has called us to do. Fascinating. Exodus 31, of what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon a person. It is an empowering and transforming spirit. One more shade of meaning and understanding and role that God's Spirit plays. We're going to look at Ezekiel. God's Ruach as a renewer. Ezekiel 37, the prophet of God, his servant, had a tremendous task of speaking truth to a generation of God's people that were burdened, were burnt out, were tired, were discouraged, were depressed, and living in fear. God brought a vision to him, and for some of us, we are familiar with this passage, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel 37, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. This is a fascinating passage. And set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And the question that he gave to his servant, Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Son of man, when you see this valley of dry, dusty bones, can it live? And so often as we look at our lives, we think about the situations that our families are in. We look at our nation, all that's going on in the world, and we think, there's nothing but death, hopelessness, darkness. God says, look at those things. Look at that individual. Look at your life. Can there be life? The life of God that causes a flourishing in our world. And so, seeing this vision by the Spirit of God, look at verse 9. We'll put it up on the screen. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live." And so look at verse 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." God already told Ezekiel what he was going to do in chapter 36 of Ezekiel. He was going to give them a new heart and a new spirit among his new covenant people. "I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my ruach within you. And it will come and cause you to obey my statutes and observe my laws." Ezekiel 37 is a most fascinating passage in our Bible study this summer of thinking of the Old Testament and God's Holy Spirit. Because here in Ezekiel 37, we have all three shades of meaning of the word ruach in this chapter. "Shout to the ruach. And say to the bones, I'm going to make ruach enter you all." So there we have it. God's spirit, his ruach, commanding his servant to speak to the four winds and to breathe the life-giving power and force into that which is dead, that the spirit of life would enter into them. All three shades of meaning of God's Spirit here in Ezekiel 37, united in the task that God has given Ezekiel. When all looks without life and there is no hope, God says, "I will breathe new life into them. Preach, command the four winds that I, by my Spirit, has led you to breathe the breath of God into these dry and dead bones." Tim Mackey says this, that Ezekiel envisions that the only way that a human is ever going to be fully alive to God and love neighbor is if God's ruach recreates them. This is not just John chapter 3. This is not just the command that Jesus gives in understanding one must be born again. This is not just in the New Testament with Paul saying that I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. This is in the dark days of a challenging time for the people of God in the Old Testament we see the necessity for God's breath to enter, to renew, to regenerate, to recreate. This is what we find in God's word. And Ezekiel 37 captures that for us. When I look at my life, when I look at those around me, when I look at the challenges we have that we're going through in our generation, the only hope that we have for all creation and for humanity is for God to recreate in us a new and clean heart. That is what God is trying to communicate. God's Spirit, when He is on the move, creates. He creates, and the phrase we learn is ex nihilo, from nothing. God creates the heavens and the earth. From nothing, God creates the breath of life in men, women, and children. That is the power of our God. It is the same word that's used when David, when he was deep and dark in his guilt and shame and sin of what he had done, and taking a woman that was not his wife into his bed to have her husband murdered, when confronted and realizing in his darkness, in his sin, in his guilt and shame, create in me a pure and clean heart and renew a steadfast ruach in me. God's Spirit is a creator. God's Spirit is an empowerer, transforming us to be able for a task and role in our lives by His power and strength to accomplish great things that we cannot do, no matter how gifted, bright, smart, trained, and educated we think we are. Unless God's Spirit is upon us, we do not have that empowerment to do the task that He calls us to do. And thirdly, God's Ruach as a renewer. He brings new life. He recreates a valley of dry, dusty, dead things, bones. And through the breath of God, breathes new life where there was only death and hopelessness. This is what the Spirit of God does in our lives and in the church and in our families and in our society. You see, and I'll end with this thought, there's an erroneous view that when I am truly spiritual and filled with the Spirit of God, I will be less physical and more heavenly minded. My life here begins to fade away and I'm just so heavenly minded and bound that physically my life begins to diminish. No, that is not the biblical understanding of God's Spirit at work in our lives. When I am influenced and filled and empowered by the Spirit of God to accomplish the things He has called me to do in my generation, I'm more human, not less. I become more human in the image of God as His image bearer to accomplish the task that He has given you and I. We become better humans, not less, when we encounter the Spirit of God, when He creates in us a new heart, when He resurrects that which was not alive, that was dead, into new life, and then He empowers us to accomplish the tasks that He has given to us to serve in our generation. When David was filled with the Spirit, he was a better king. When Samson was filled with the Spirit, he was a better fighter. When Joseph was filled with the Spirit, he could interpret dreams that would change the course of history. When Bezalel was filled with the Spirit, he made beautiful things with his hands through the artistic gifts that were empowered and lifted up to a different level to invite people to meet God and His presence in the Holy Tabernacle. You will be a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter, a better worker, whatever your career is, when the Spirit of God is upon you. And so as we think about that, and this is only the introduction, as we think about God's Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, hold on to these things as we bridge to the New Testament next Sunday and see that God's same Spirit is at work in the church today and through His Word to create, to empower, and to renew. With that, I invite you to consider how desperately we need an encounter with God's Holy Spirit.